It's okay. Testing, testing. It's okay. That's fine. Well, praise God, brothers and sisters. I don't know about you guys, but when we come to the house of God, I was sending some encouragement to the Spanish pastors. And I quote the Psalm 133 to them. It's how beautiful it is to see the brothers, you know, gathering together in harmony. Amen. It's like the moisture coming from the sea that falls upon Aaron's, goes through his very pore, the way down to his cloak. And I shared with you guys last week, I was going to bring an analogy to you guys about the coverage that we have in Christ Jesus. First week when we started the series, I brought to you guys some scriptures about who God, some of the characters that people acknowledge God as. God is invisible, God is light, you know, God is almighty, powerful. God is for you. It's not against you. And a lot of people confuse the simple factor about his justice and his righteousness upon our own. You know, when I was praising God out there, I wanted to share with you guys something that I'd rather, by the guidance of God, I want to wait for the closing of the series on week four. But as you guys already know, I gave you guys a verse that speaks high volumes to me in my walk in my faith. And it's on 29 chapter of 1 Chronicles. I give you guys on the beginning, verse 1 of Genesis, the chapter 1, because without that verse, if we don't believe on that verse, that God created the heavens and the earth, our faith is futile. A lot of people ties that verse with John 1:1, which is also very, very honest, and it's righteous to tie them together, because nothing was created without him. And everything that has been created is for himself. That's including you and I. Doesn't matter how you're walking in life. The series is about to let you guys know that God is in full control. God is in control of everything. And at the appointed time, God will bless his people. We want to receive the blessings from God. It will be foolish for us not to be wanting to be blessed by God. We bless one another just by the simple fact that we gather together and we share God's love. Amen. But there is a special blessing coming from God. See, when I shared those characters of God on week one, it was for me to cause you guys to have a longingness to get to know him like that. The verse that I want to read to you. Every time I read this verse, comes with power, with love. To understand who God is, and let's read it, 29 verse 11 of 1 Chronicles, and then we pray. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 11, that has been our theme verse for this series. And it says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. He is exalted as head over all things. That's the God you serve. That's the God I fall in love with. Amen. That's the God that showed me his love, that forgave me, that redeemed me. The one who calls me to stand here before you and let you guys know about this God. You guys know that I'm a person who loves studying God's word. And I have read the Bible so many verses, so many times. And as you read the Bible, you will understand one beautiful thing, that we have 1,189 chapters on the 66 books of the canonical books of the Bible. 1,189 chapters. For you to get into it and to start reading them, to start putting your faith on that foundation, on that word that was given many, many years ago to people crazy like myself who has fallen in love with God. On those chapters, we had 31,102 verses. Every single verse has something for you and for me. Every single verse of the Bible, they're divided with 23,000 and change on the Old Testament and 7,000 and change on the New Testament. For us to click into the Word of God and to start understanding the plan that God has for you and me. The amazing blessing that God has for you and me as we continue to get to know Him better and better and better and better until the day we to see Him face to face. I wanna start injecting on all of you, because in those verses He start teaching us who God is. Those characters that I gave you last week on week one, that where you find them. He's invisible. You haven't seen Him, yet you love Him. I haven't seen Jesus with my eyes. Every time I look at you, I see His love and His radiance. And to me, the representation of the Most High God. The fullness of God dwelling in Jesus now dwells in you. And in every person that walks out of this building. And He teaches me to love them the way that He loved me. To forgive them the way that He forgave me. It's radical to have this type of thinking. Because we're so fragile. Oh, He did it to me. I want to make Him pay. Or I want to make her pay.
That's right.
You know, we in our nature, we act like that. Because somebody pay you or did you wrong, you're going to get them back. Some way, somehow. And it's not supposed to be like that. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before You, Father God. I love the way that You touch Your people, God. I love the way that You touch me to come before You and to give You thanks for all things, God. We just read that Yours is the glory and the power and the honor. And Your name is exalted above all things, God. We're going to come before You in Your presence, God, to set it from the innermost of us, God. Great is Your faithfulness and great is Your love and amazing grace is just the more that we try to understand You, we just continue falling short. And for that we praise You, God. We ask that You will bless the reading of Your work and Your message. In Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I was sharing with some brothers a couple of weeks and some other folks. And it's a biblical insight, little nugget. The Bible says that I haven't seen a righteous one in need. I haven't seen one righteous with the longings in wanting. Because the secret for us to walk on this earth is to be content with what God has given you and blessing you with. That's the secret of happiness. You know, bless means happy is the one who seek and thirst for righteousness, because they will be blessed. They will be blessed. I've been talking to some folks that if I haven't seen people leaving poverty behind unless they become investors. Now I'm talking about money. When I read the Bible and I shared with you how many verses and chapters it is, it's not for me to stand before you and say, you know what, wow, you know how much knowledge that guy has. It's not. It's something that you, as you study, as you work, as you put in notes and you write numbers and you, okay, this verse was with that one and two and two and four and four and six. And then when you finish studying the Bible, you realize that this, my God, there is so many verses in here. And it speaks life. But the nature of humanity focus more upon the things that what God is going to judge and how God is going to repay you. And this present a God that is a God who doesn't love people. There is not a human being who does not know what's wrong is wrong. And what is right is right. We know exactly when we're sinning. Even when the thought comes in, we already know that it's wrong. But sometimes we let it go. Because our flesh desires, sometimes the one that you feed the most is the one that wins the battle. You feed the spirit, and you're going to become very wealthy in the knowledge of God's word. You feed the flesh, it was already made for that. If you invest 1%, I was telling some brother the other day, 1% of your day is 14.4 minutes. 1%. A lot of people speak about the tithes and the 10% and all this crap that is America's nonsense teaching. Because of the tithes. If I don't tithe, I'm stealing God. I thought you were American, not Jewish. You know, and people use it for the gain, which is false teaching. Teachings of the Nicolaites to create money upon a place that was supposed to be non-profit. And it hurts the body. It hurts the church. When you spend 1%, not 10%, 1% of your life in a day, it's 14.4 minutes. You spend 1 week in 1%, it's 1 hour and 42 minutes. 1% of a year is 3.65 days. You know how many days are in a year? 365, right? So 1% of that, you spend that time with God. Just imagine 14 minutes of your busy life. Giving it to God. No distractions. Just you and God. Nobody else. Doesn't matter if it is here for 45 minutes or if it is in your house. 1% of your busy life with God. You will see how beautiful God is and how much blessing He has for you. I advise you that when you spend that 1%, you write down the things that He's sharing with you. Write it down because you're going to forget it. Write it down and start planning your day. And you will see with your own eyes the impact that you will have upon those ones who surround you. In your life, first of all, and those ones who surround you. 1 stinky % of your busy life, giving to God. Man, you can give in 10%, praise the Lord. Giving your tithe to the Lord, those 10%. Giving those 15 minutes of your life. And you see how the more that you invest in God, the more wealthy you become upon the knowledge of God's word. So when the enemy comes and tries to steal your joy, you're going to tell him, get behind me, dude. You're defeated. Get the heck out. You have no authority or power over me. It's the one who lives in me who is greater than one that lives on the world. That's how you overcome the world. That's how you walk above reproach. Because whatever you do, you're doing to please the Lord. You will see the outcome with your own eyes. I can assure you that. Giving those minutes to the Lord, amen. How can I do this? You know, you guys preachers just talk and talk and talk and talk. How do I do it? Well, I just want to share with you what I do. You have your own work. But let me take you to Psalm 143. So you guys can see what I do. Psalm 143, verse 1 to 12. This is a small psalm. Last week I shared with you last time I was here preaching, I shared with you that a lot of believers Hasis exercising this very highly recommended advice or command, however you want to put it, about fasting, praying and fasting. One of the exercises that will make you so strong on God's word, on your spiritual walk. And I ask you, you know, how was the last time that you fasted? What was the last time that you personally prayed those 10 minutes unto God? There was a time when I was doing a leadership class, and I read a chapter to my brothers, and I put a timer on my phone so that they can see how long it would take me to read a chapter. See, I was directing a point upon that. But this is what I do. Listen, on verse 143, verse 1 says like this, on the New King James, "Hear my prayer, O Lord." You see the special relationship? "Hear my prayer, O Lord." It's a personal thing. "Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. And in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living is righteous." I come before my God and I see how great God is and how faithful He is. And I know I'm supposed to be a recipient of His judgment, but I beseech Him. I know I messed up, God. But please show some mercy to your servant. I want to enter with you with this reverence unto your presence, God. Because hallowed be thy name. We enter into his presence from people. "Oh, I want to do this so that you guys can see how become so strong from the faith." Listen, the Bible says, "Be careful you who think you're strong. You might fail." You come in and you start this relationship with God, and verse 3 says, "For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness, overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed." I come in to give him all the glory, and I present my case before God. You know what Isaiah says? "Come before me. Let's reason about this. Bring your complaints to me." You think that God doesn't know that the enemy is attacking you? You think that God is not looking at you and that he's just here? Go and fight with that dude. You come in and you start presenting your case. You start having a personal relationship with God. And you start presenting your whatever is begging you or bothering you. It's real. God wants to hear you. God doesn't want you to be a second-hand Christian. A Christian because of my grandmother or my grandfather or my mom or my wife or my whatever the case might be. He wants you. You. Personally. He says, verse 5 says, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I remember my days of old." Listen, what David is over here crying out. "And I remember how faithful you were. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands." Verse 6 says, "I spread out my hands." And I was over there just singing to God, praising my Lord, spreading my hands. I'm not ashamed of praising Jesus. I love him. He deserves all honor and all glory. When you fall in love, when you start spending time with God like this, you don't care where you are. You could be in this church, you could be in another church, you could be wherever you are, and you're going to be praising God. That's the relationship that he starts pointing at you, that he wants you. See, this is what I do. This is how I love my God. "I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land." I'm longing to be in his presence. I'm over there with tears. And I've seen everybody singing, and more joy comes into my heart. This is the God we serve, you guys. This is the one who's asking you, "Give me 1% of your busy life. Invest on me. I want to make you so wealthy. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you." says the Lord, when you seek Him with all your heart, with everything in you, don't hold back. Listen, on verse 7, just answer me speedily. Oh Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Okay, listen. Cause me. Cause me to bear your forgiveness. Cause me to bear your loving kindness. Cause me to love the way you love. Make that cause upon me in my heart. Don't let me look at my brothers the way that I used to look at them. Because I have seen the works of your hand. I see how much love and patience and kindness you have for everybody. You had it for me who was the worst of sinners. Yeah. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning.
Amen.
Please, let me have my daily bread.
Amen.
You know that word in the Aramaic says Yah mana for the bread. A lot in English it says mana, but in the Aramaic on the old ring says Yah mana. I wish they would have left it.
Amen.
As you guys know who Yah is, or Yahweh?
Amen.
Jeez. Give me your daily breath. In the mornings. For I lift up my soul before you. I'm giving you all. Deliver me. This sounds like the Lord's Prayer, huh? Deliver me. Oh Lord, from my enemy. In you I take shelter. Listen, okay? Teach me to do your will. Didn't Jesus read that on Matthew? You will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, check it out, you guys. This is nothing new. This is the same word that has been presented even before your ancestors were born. Because He wants you to have a personal relationship with you. He wants you to cause you to long for Him. That's what I was praying about there. The same longing that I have, God, to see your face. Please give it to my brothers and sisters. Don't let it be, artificial in 10 years, believers. Let him come before you. Let him embrace you. Let him take that Bible and eat it. Because it's going to taste sweet like honey, God. I know it because I have experienced it. Now when it comes down, after I pass it out through my mouth, it's sour. Because it reveals how nasty we are. It says, the Bible says that. It's sweet, it tastes like sweeter than honey. But when it comes in, the sourness comes up. See, because it reveals the desires of your heart. He wants you to line up with Him so that sweetness will have left you. So that you get rid of the sourness. Because you just come like Him. I know, God, I have messed up. But don't come in to judge me before your servant. See, it has to be like that. God is so pure, He cannot see sin. There is no darkness in Him. Chapter 1, verse 5 of 1 John. He is light. There is no darkness in Him at all. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of our righteousness. Lead me not into doing what is wrong. What is tempting me? Because the stinky tempter is right before me, trying to make me fall. That when he says, lead me not into temptation, and not that he pushed you to be tempted, it's that stinky liar trying to make you fall. If you give him a foothold, he will drag you down and destroy you. He's like a roaring lion. just for you to give him a little food for him. Man, he's so bad. Sometimes people are like, I want to throw a white lie. I can do this because he already loved me, forgive me. Now there is the righteousness. Teach me, Lord, your righteousness acts. I don't want to displace you. I want to live a life that will please you, will be well pleased. Sometimes we are in our carnality. We dress the scripture according to our understandings. Because you don't want to offend somebody. If I know that the Bible is an offense to many, the cross is an offense to many. It was and is still going to be until the end. Why? Because sometimes he's speaking to us in such a way that he knows that he's sharing with you at this very moment, do what is right on his side. I love you so much. I don't want you to struggle no more. I want to lift you up. I want to raise you up. I want to build you up. I had to tear you in pieces so that you can be a vessel for honor. Because to what time you was a vessel for dishonor. That's what God does. He wants people to understand, listen, come before me. I love you. I'm going to take care of you. I got so much love for you. I'm longing for you. Come before the Lord, your God. It says in here, lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me. Hallelujah. Imagine a person who was anointed asking God to revive him. You know, every believer needs to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. Every believer needs to get somebody to wash their feet. Every believer needs to understand that in the walk, in your daily walk, you want to make errors, but it's not to be condemned or to be defeated, but to come up before God and say, revive me, God. Revive me. Oh, Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness, sake, bring my soul out of the issue, out of the trouble. Rescue me. I'm crying out to you. He just keeps reaffirming you or who God is and what he wants you to do. This is what I do. I come and I don't see. He doesn't want you to be like those, like, you know, over the waist, toss back and forth with a bunch of different teachings. There is the word of God for you to be founded, rooted on this foundation that was presented before even anything was created, so that you can walk with the Spirit of God. He already rescued you. Now he's inviting you to walk with the Spirit, because he didn't leave you like orphan. He sent his Holy Spirit to be your guider, to tell you to come here, this way, stay this path. He wants you to have a relationship with the tribune through him. Amen. You have to depend upon him. Listen on verse 12. In your mercy, cut off my enemies. And I've been telling you guys to tell for quite some time, it's not people. Because the battle is not against flesh and blood. There is entities trying to deter you. That's why Paul says, even if it is an angel coming with a different gospel than what you have heard, he is eternally condemned. He's not telling you. He's the person who is coming with a different gospel. He is eternally condemned. Cut out my enemies, God. Give and destroy all those who afflict my soul. For I am your servant. I want to close in that. See, because I decide to serve the Lord. He's calling you to serve him. To live for him. He's calling you for you to come before him and say, God, my wife, my husband, my uncle, my whatever, can you please touch them? Amen. Can you bring him to your loving kindness? To your mercy and your grace. Can you, if it is possible, God, can you use me to be the one who will harvest them? But if not, God send your workers, harvest them, bring them to your flock. That's the beauty. You have to be walking in such a way, because sometimes we instead of helping God, we push people away from God. Because our desire is so bad that we blindfold ourselves. Your desire is so bad that you want them to get saved, that you want them to grow up in the faith, that you want them to know the God that you know. Because all so much knowledge of you, you push people away from coming before Him like that. And I'm talking as a minister, brothers and sisters. That happens to most of the pastors. Because we just want to be my way or the highway. This is how I read, this is how I understand, and you better become like me instead of becoming like Jesus. That's how things work. And individually, we do the same thing with family members. Because you know more than the other guy over there. Listen, the message is about to let you know that God is in control. Right? And I just walk you to the Psalms 43, 143, so that you can see how I come before God. How I was telling my wife, I haven't finished this year, and I already have another one given by God. Amen. Boom, boom, He just keep bombarding me with a bunch of scriptures to bring it over for you guys. Of course, it's for me first. And then I start selecting what, okay, God, okay, okay, good, good. And I start writing down because I want to forget it. I write it down because I want to forget what God was speaking to me. So I can share with you. So I'm over here just as representative of God to tell you, give God your controls. Point number one, give God your controls. And see what He does on your daily walk with Him. Give Him your controls. You're not in control. Give God the will. Let Him drive you. Amen. Be the passenger. He will take you to places that you never dream of. He will push you in places to preach and teach that you never thought about those things. You thought that you was just a person that will speak and teach here at a community Christian church, probably. God will take you to places to present His good news to people. He will. All you have to do is give Him all the full control of your walk with Him. Listen, brothers, it's an invitation. It's a suggestion if you don't mind. Because I know it's so hard to give it away. It's so hard to say, God, here's the keys of my house. Come in and do as you please.
Amen.
So that's the hardest part that any human being can do. Because we want to say, it's my money and I want it now. Like the commercial says. We're so possessive. When we give the control to our time, He will share through His inspired word something to speak to His people. And this is for us all at church. When you give God your full control, He will give you word to speak to His people. And not only here at church, but everywhere. Let's go to Titus. Titus chapter 3. I want to read from verse 1 to verse 8 on Titus. I want to read this to you guys because I want to bring in memory who you are, what the work God is doing on you, what the work God is doing on with me. We have to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit as what just read on Psalms 143. Let's see the next step. Now you come in the morning. Now you come in and start listening, hearing God. Now let's see what Paul tells a young brother. Listen, I want you to do this now. So in the morning, or in your daily walk, you invest time with God, and God gives you word, and then you have to put into action. You just cannot be eating anything because you become so fat with so much knowledge. Have to put it into exercise. Do some exercise. So Titus was in a place where everybody's called, overeaters, because that's the God that they were serving on Crete. And Paul is going to tell him, listen, I want you to hear me out so that you do not fall upon those things, so that you can pull people out of that thinking. I want you to understand that you're going to be used by God to remind people of the message that they have heard already. You already heard this before. And I just want to remind you. Verse 1 says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. I want you to go and remind them these things, that the authorities that God has placed is in there for a purpose. For every authority that God has placed is not to do evil, but to do good. So you come into them with a lot of humility. Don't be thinking because I'm one of the apostles, I'm all that with tobacco chips. You have to humble yourself. Be gentle. Let your gentleness be so vivid. You know, listen, that's what I'm trying to tell you here. When we become so knowledgeable within that, we're the Holy of Holies, that we're the high priest. And it's not supposed to be like that. And it's not just the preacher, it's every believer. Yuck. I don't talk to that one. Why? He stinks. Why? He hasn't showered in years. Well, take him to your house and shower him, buy him a new set of clothes. And then he'll smell good. Do something about it. Not just... You know, and going in the context, that's why it says to speak evil of no one. You know, because sometimes we blindfold ourselves and we do, what do I do? What do I do? Now I know the Bible. Now I know the verses. What do I do next? Verse 3 says, for we ourselves were also once like that. You know, we ourselves, listen how says the context, okay, reminded of these things. So when it's a reminder, you have to take knowledge on the contents. See, at once we were like that. He wants you to go back when he rescued you. The day that he showed grace to you and that you were saved, so you don't pass judgment upon nobody. Because man, I was filthy. And he washed me. He made me new. You know, all my sins whiter than snow, gone. And not in 60 seconds, like in 1 second, it was gone. And I was washed in the blood of the Lamb. See, this says in here, this, for we ourselves were also foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various losses and pleasures, living in malice and in envy, hateful and hating one another. Remember these things. Don't be thinking that you're a whole sack of potatoes, because you're not. That's what he's saying. See, remember how he raised you back up, how what you came from. And then he gave you mercy upon all the crazy stuff that you were doing, hating one another, bam, bam, in the hood. Whatever it was, you know, he's rescued us. He wants you to acknowledge those things. Listen what it says in here. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards men appeared to me, that love, when that loving kindness, when I was reminded of those things, it says, not by words or righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. I know that I have been saved. I had to come before you with a broken heart and let you know, listen, God is in control. Even upon the things that you're struggling as we speak, God is in full control. He wants you to step on the brake and wait and say, Lord, what am I going to read from this? What are you teaching me with this? Instead of going, you know, with a Ferrari. Get one of those crankers. I only used to run 10 miles per hour. Slow down, in other words, you know. According to his mercy, he saved us. Passions. You have been saved. Amen. Through what? Through your own works? Oh, heck no. It was by grace that you have been saved so that no one will boast. Amen. If you want to boast, boast in the Lord. See, because he saved you, he rescued you. Through the washing, listen, okay? I was washed. Through the washing and the regeneration. And renewing of your mind through the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible teaches. You're not as you used to be no more, like he says the same thing in Romans chapter 12, but the renewing of your mind, or your thinking, or your soul. Born through the Holy Spirit that he has given us. He did not left us like orphans. He's a faithful Father. He will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what, he will be there with you through the storm. From beginning to end, he's with you. That's why we call him Emmanuel. Amen. God with us. Verse 6 says, whom he poured out, I should have just read it, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. We're going to walk in such a way. I want to be a second-hand Christian. I'm going to give him all the control to my God because I know that at a point in time, he will bless me. He's never late. I'm going to put all my trust in Jesus. All of it. Because I know that through his promises, he will come through. He will never fail. He will at his appointed time, not upon our time. That's why you're supposed to bow knees. My wife was praying for me for years to get saved, poor lady, with some other ladies at Colton. And I didn't want to know nothing about Jesus. I didn't like him. Man, now nobody can stop me talking about Jesus. I was talking to my friend Emilio, and, you know, he went to convert me. You know, I'm always a little bit tall, you know, now I'm getting short, I think, but I'd rather pass you from the ways out of my house, cast them out on the air. He was there just a witness to a crazy guy like me. Now we're really close friends. Why? Because people didn't give up on me, including my poor wife. But more than anything, God didn't give up on me. Now when his mercy and loving kindness appeared through the love that has been put upon the Holy Spirit of God upon me, I said, Lord, here I am, I serve you. I'm giving all in. I don't want nothing that I have. Nothing that I have, I want to start anew. And my, you know, my wife and some people in here is my witness that I gave everything away. All of it. Because of the convictions I was facing when I first came to the Lord. I gave it all away. All of it. Went to live in a house with a sister in one of the rooms, of her rooms. From having a big old house and all these luxuries and bunch of nonsense stuff that ties people in upon this earth. But what I was learning through that process, what I now know, if I would have now know what I know now, I would have probably gone different routes. But God was using all that because he's always in control. I gave him the control and I can see it. Why he gave it to, he took it away from me. I'm going to be honest with you and I'm confessing now. Money was my greatest sin. Power and authority was my greatest sin. I wanted to have plenty. I want to have my own enterprises, businesses. I wanted to have millions and millions of dollars. And I gave it all away. All of it. For the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. Now I know it. Now I understand that if I would be content with what he has blessed me, I probably, you know, he probably wouldn't took those things away. But it was heavily needed because that was my greatest temptation, money. And I've been turning up my place of work. I stopped working long ago. I don't work. I serve. At my work, my place of work, I serve. I work in restoration. So God pulled me out of construction to a restoration business, which is kind of similar, but you're restoring people who's in distress, their properties. And this is what God showed me. That's why I place you there, Memo. I place you there because I want you to do the same thing with my people at the church. Amen. You're a restorer through me. And that's the love that God put upon us so that we don't think that we're the ones doing the work, but it's God doing it through us. He's not exactly what he's going to do, what he has for you. Verse 7 says, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly. I want to preach these things to you and remind you of these things very often so that you guys can continue walking by faith, not by sight, by faith. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Wash yourself before you wreck yourself. Remember that song? Wash yourselves. Do what is good. Don't stop doing what is good. Doesn't matter that you're going to lose. You win when you give out your control. If the Lord pours upon you to go and assist or go restore or go help, by all means, go do it. He will do it through you. Don't hold back. Do what is good. Good works. These things are good and profitable to men. That's why I share with you that I haven't seen no people leave in poverty behind unless they become investors. It's profitable to you. The more that you invest in people, the more that you invest in your relationship with God, you will invest the same time with your partners, with your husbands, with your family members, and it's going to be very healthy and wealthy as heck. Amen. But if we neglect something, and we feed the flesh, get what you're going to get for those who suffer from the flesh. I didn't say it. He said it. Death. That's what we harvest. When we sow things from the flesh. But when you sow things from the spirit, get what you're going to harvest. Eternal things. Eternal life. Point two, give God the glory, the honor and all the power to will and to do as you walk with him. To will and to do. Give him all the control. To will and to do. And you'll see what he's going to do with you. Let me take you to, I have 1 minute and 44. Let me take you to you now. I want to exhort you now. I give you the good things. I give you the middle part where, which brings conviction. Now I'm going to sort you. All right? On Jude. It's a small little letter, but I'm going to read the last verses, 24 and 25. Okay? Because I want you to hear this is what God does with you and with me. Because he's more than able. He always is. He's always more than able. He says in here, brothers and sisters, now to him, okay, to God, to Jesus, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy. Okay? To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. You see why I read 29:11 on 1 Chronicles? To him be all the power. Yours is everything, God. And you're the head above all. That's how you study the word. That's how you communicate with God. This is how you start becoming very worthy upon the things of God. You spend time with him. Give him 1% place. I beg you. Man, you can give in 10% by all means, but you can give the whole package, 100%, you'll see. You will never outgive God. He will bless you that you have no idea. And that's my point number three. Come before Him physically. Listen, come before Him physically and spiritually. Come before Him. See, there is a word. Yes. There is a word in the English name is estate. Or tate. That's what you read in Revelation. And the truth says, come, Lord. Come. That's the word. Why? Because when the Jewish people cry out to God, they always finish with that, Abba, Tate. Tate. Father, come. Come. Why? Because the church should have a desire for the Jesus Christ to return. Amen. When we're walking spiritually. I was told long ago, I was rebuked earnestly. They told me, you are a selfish Christian man. By a good sister of ours. How can you want Jesus Christ to come back? What about the rest of the people that hasn't been saved? And I was like, oh Lord, have mercy. Doesn't she know what is written? God will do what He has to do to save everyone who will believe in Him. Remember last week I told you that I know when Jesus Christ is going to come? I just not know the day or the hour. I do not know the day or the hour, but I know when He's going to come. According to the scriptures, on looking Romans, until the last number of the Gentiles gets fulfilled, He'll come. That's one of us, not Jewish people. When that person that's been ordained for Him to be saved, then He will come. So when the church says, come, Lord, when the Hebrews people used to say, come, they have a desire for Him to return. They're still waiting the Messiah. Can you guys believe that? Some of them. That's why the Bible says not to speak evil on no one. We pray for them. We pray for Israel. You know what the scripture says? Those who bless Israel, what? I will bless. And those who curse Israel, I will curse. But if we're walking in the Spirit, you see, the invitation is to come before Him physically or spiritually and give Him the full control of everything. And in due time, you will see that He will keep you and present you without blemish when He comes back. Walk in such a way, brothers and sisters, that when He comes, listen, doesn't matter if you don't do it, okay? If you don't do good works, He did it for you. But if God is prompting your heart and is, you know, calling you, I highly suggest for you to start doing. Do it. Do it. Lose the control and do it. He will bless you. He will provide for you. He will prepare all things beforehand for you. Listen, don't fall upon the things of just sitting down in the pews and doing nothing. Become a doers. Oh, God's word. Listen, for some people, brothers and sisters, what you do is not going to be enough, but it's all good. Because the one looking at you is the one who's you pleasing. Don't please people. Please God. Please God. Do whatever you do for His glory. And put yourself into action, amen? Let us pray out. Heavenly Father, we come before You to thank You for today, God. God, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that is anyone in here, Lord, who has been walking sideways or midways or not all the way, God. I pray in the name of Jesus, if the Holy Spirit is targeting their hearts, Father God, that they will say today, God, I make a covenant with You. Come into me, Father. I give You the control. Use me, God. Here I am. Teach me Your ways. Because I want to do Your will, not mine. I pray, God, that they will rise up and cry out to you, Lord, whether it's physically, like I said it right now, Father, or spiritually, man, Lord. But that whatever they say, that they will say, if they want to come before you, God, prompt them, Father, in their hearts to come before you in the altar of God. Let their covenant or their pact that they will do will be before you, God. Your word says, Father God, that they don't need no one to tell them to come and know the Lord. They will come before you, God, right here, right now, to make amendments and to make a promise to you, to serve you and to glorify you and serve your holy name. Lord, if they do that, bless them. Lord, if they already have done it right now in their ceasefire, bless them. Bless your people, God. Bless the people here at Community Christian Church and upon the other churches where they're serving you, God. Father God, bless your people, Israel. Let us never forget, God, that it's because of them that we have come hairs inherited upon your bush, Father. We were wild bushes. And we have been crafted in. May your name be blessed and exalted today as always, Father. And we thank you for all things. In Jesus Christ I pray. Amen.